Father and our God, for it's by grace that we have come into this place this morning. Thank you for the life that you have given us, because each day, Lord, is a gift from above. There's none of us who can declare that as we sleep, we will definitely wake up each day. So we thank you that you cause us to live. We thank you that you have brought us into your family. We thank you for the grace that has been bestowed to us. We thank you for calling us sons. Even as we read in the parable of the prodigal today, you are the one waiting for us. You do not wait for us to be clean before we come before you, because you are the one that cleanses us. You do not wait for us to be restored before we come to you, because you are the restorer. You do not wait for us to be righteous before we come to you, because you are the one that makes righteous. So, Father, we give thanks for all that you do in our lives. Lord, we fall upon your hands of mercy this morning, praying that through your word you will speak to us, speak to our hearts, O Lord. Heal, make whole, teach, encourage this morning, Father. By your word I pray, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our God is good. Our God is good. Amen. Please, can everybody sitting at the back, please just move forward. Just indulge me. Social distance. Look. There's more than enough social distance space here. So when you move, just leave 3 spaces. So we can all socially distance. I'm glad there's no spiritual distance. Join us now. You think I don't see you, eh? And that is my sister, Funke, who is visiting with us for the first time. We did not welcome her. So please, let us take a minute to just welcome her and the children. You know, we don't do those things again. Let us go around. Thank you, Brother Ken. Welcome the name of the Lord. I can see the glory of the Lord. Amen. You're welcome, my sister. God bless you. All right. Let us open our Bibles. We shall do some Bible study this morning to the book of 2nd, as some people call it, Chronicles. 2nd Chronicles. And we'll be looking at the story of one of the kings of Israel. Sorry, of Judah, not Israel. Like I said, we'll be doing some Bible study. So, everybody, be alert for questions. Jemima, what is the difference between Israel and Judah? Yeah, sure. Keziah, do you want to help her?
Israel is a nation and Judah is a tribe.
Israel is a nation. Yes, I like that. Israel is a nation and Judah is a tribe. But something happened for the Bible to tell us there is Israel and there is Judah. Deshola, you next. have no idea. You have no idea?
Yeah.
Okay, where is Simeon and Anike? Okay, see me.
Did they split into two different?
Very nations? Good. They split into two different nations or tribes, whatever you will call it. Why did they split? Okay, that is homework for all of you. So you'll know why do we have Judah and Israel. And all through biblical history in the Old Testament, you will see that Judah had its own kings and Israel had its own kings. And the time of the splitting happened just after the reign or towards the end of the reign of King Solomon. Am I correct? Eh? After? Okay. It was his son. And there was a statement that was made, which is very popular, that people say, "To your tents, O Israel." And they split. So, one of the kings of Judah. Now, over and over, you will see in the Bible that some of the kings, the Lord will compare their reign to the reign of David. It was as if God made the reign of David a standard by which all the other kings, their reigns were measured. And today we're looking at one of the kings of Judah. His name was Asa. Timmy, what's the name of this king? Okay, where's your Bible? Pick one there. Do you have your Bibles? Okay, Timmy, okay, if you have one, that's fine. So let's open to 2 Chronicles chapter 14. 2 Chronicles chapter 14. Okay, Muradike is asleep. Okay, we'll have Asa to read for us. Keziah, you read for us. Read from verses 1 through 8.
When Abijah died, he was buried in the city of David. Then his son Asa became the next king. There was peace in the land for 10 years. Asa did what was pleasing and good in the sight of the Lord his God. He removed the foreign altars and the pagan shrines. He smashed the sacred pillars and cut down the Asherah poles. He commanded the people of Judah to seek the Lord, the God of their ancestors, and to obey his law and his commands. Asa also removed the pagan shrines as well as the incense altars from every one of Judah's towns. So Asa's kingdom enjoyed a period of peace. During those peaceful years, he was able to build up the fortified towns throughout Judah. No one tried to make war against him at this time, for the Lord was giving him rest from his enemies. Asa told the people of Judah, "Let us build towns and fortify them with walls, towers, gates, and bars. The land is still ours because we sought the Lord our God, and he has given us peace on every side." So they went ahead with these projects and brought them to completion. King Asa had an army of 300,000 warriors from the tribe of Judah, armed with large shields and spears. He also had an army of 280,000 warriors from the tribe of Benjamin, armed with small shields and bows. Both armies were composed of well-trained fighting men.
Okay, so Jemima, will you take 9 to 15?
Once an Ethiopian named Zerah attacked Judah with an army of 1,000,000 men and 300 chariots. They advanced to the town of Mazara. So Asa deployed his armies for battle in the valley of north of Mazara. Then Asa carried out the Lord his God, cried out to the Lord his God, O God, no one but you can help the powerless against the mighty. Help us, O God, Lord our God, for we trust in you alone. It is your name that we have come against. It is in your name that we have come against this vast horde. So, O Lord, you are our God. Do not let mere men prevail against you. So the Lord defeated the Ethiopians in the presence of Asa and the army of Judah, and the enemy fled. Asa and his army pursued them as far as Gerar, and so many Ethiopians fell that they were unable to rally. They were destroyed by the Lord and his army, and the army of Judah carried off a vast amount of plunder. While they were at Gerar, they attacked all the towns in that area, and terror from the Lord came upon the people there. As a result, a vast number of plunder was taken from these towns too. They also attacked the camps of herdsmen and captured many sheep, goats, and camels before finally returning to Jerusalem.
Okay. Like I said, we're doing Bible study today, right? So, Deshola, tell me this story in your own words, what we've just read.
So, Abijah died, and then...
Who was Abijah?
I assume he was the previous king.
The previous king, the father of Asa.
And then Asa became king. Okay. And then it just talked about, like, the different things he did as king that were pleasing to God. Like,
name some of the things he did.
He got rid of the pagan statues.
Very good.
He removed foreign altars.
He removed foreign altars. Mm-hmm.
He smashed the sacred pillars and cut down the Asherah poles.
So that tells us something about the reign of the father of Asa. That during the reign of the previous king, the people of Israel, they were given to idolatry. They were worshiping idols. They had deserted the God, the Lord their God. Okay, go on.
So, and then it said that no one tried to make war against him. And then it talked about his army of 300,000.
Said that God did something to Asa. God gave him what?
Peace.
Peace or rest all around him. I want you all to note that word. What did God give Asa? Peace and rest. All the enemies that were attacking them, nobody attacked Asa any longer. Because there was peace and rest all around him. Okay, Damilola, you go on from there. Tell us the story from there.
I don't really remember anything because I wasn't paying attention.
I can hear you.
I wasn't really paying attention.
Okay, so. Read it. From verse 6, 2 Chronicles 14. Actually, read it from verse 4.
Verse 4.
2 Chronicles 14.
Okay.
Take it from verse 4. Read it.
He commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers.
Who commanded Judah?
Lord, the Lord.
Hmm?
Oh.
That was Asa, the king, okay. Commanded Judah. Remember that we have said that the kingdom had been split. Israel, as the kingdom, as one before, had been split to the northern kingdom called Israel and the southern kingdom called Judah. So Asa was king over Judah. And Asa was now commanding Judah after he destroyed the Asherah poles, destroyed all the high places, destroyed all the idols that his father had been serving. He now commanded his people, Judah. Go on. He said what?
He commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to observe the law and the commandment.
Right. Commanded them to seek whom? To seek the Lord, the God of their fathers. And to do what?
And to follow the commandment.
And to obey the commandments of the Lord. Go on, read it.
He also removed the high places and the incense altars from all the cities of Judah, and the kingdom was quiet under him.
Okay, go on.
And he built fortified cities in Judah, for the land had rest. He had no war in those years because the Lord had given him rest.
Because the Lord had given him rest. Then something happened after that. Let me see. Who will help us? Timmy. Okay. Right. He built cities. He expanded the kingdom of Judah, built cities, walls. Why do they build walls then?
To protect the city from enemies coming in.
Very good. Then what happened?
And then I forgot.
There was somebody from Ethiopia who said, "Let me disturb the peace of this king."
Oh yeah, and then Asa cried out to the Lord, and then I think, like, he destroyed the Ethiopians.
But before we get there, Sister Shadi, what did he say? What did we learn about this Ethiopian army?
They said that they were mighty. I think I saw something. I don't remember. I said verse 8 said the army of... That was Asa's army. That was mighty. But the Ethiopian had an army of 1 million men and 300.
How many men were in the Judah? You know, it was Judah and Benjamin.
280,000 men from Benjamin and 300,000 from Judah.
So we had about 580,000.
Yeah, and they have over 1 million.
Okay. And they were about...
1 million. Men.
So they were... Pretty much 2-to-1.
Double.
They were double the army. And upon that, they had chariots.
300,000.
300 chariots. But the army of Judah, did they have chariots? No. So this was like, let me see. The American army coming against the Oroago army. No, not even Nigerian army. Is Russia versus what? Ukraine? No. 2-to-1 with sophisticated weapons. Well, maybe Russia versus Ukraine. So it was a skewed war to start with. And the first thing that King Asa did was to what? He cried unto God. Now, I want us to note this because there's another parallel story we're going to read of the life of Asa. The first thing Asa did here was cry unto God. Remember that he had peace all around. Here was now from an army that doubled the number of what he had, with sophisticated chariots, with horses. And he didn't have anything like that. But he had whom? He had the Lord. And he cried unto God. And he what? He cried unto God. I was reading, you know, over the course of last week, the Lord was showing me something. And many of us, we tend from time to time to forget. I was reading the story of Hagar. Hagar was the servant of Sarah. And, you know, as some women do, I won't say all women now, some women do, Sarah was the one who hatched the plan for Hagar to continue the line of Abraham. And when Hagar had a child, and by tradition, it was if the servant had the child on the lap of the owner of the servant, the child belongs to the owner of the servant. So, by and large, Ishmael would have been Sarah's child. But by and large, God fulfilled the original plan that God had for Sarah. And after Sarah now had a child in her own old age, she despised Hagar to the point where Hagar had to flee away from Sarah, and she went into the desert. She didn't know where to go. She didn't have anything. And that child called Ishmael, you know, when in the desert, what food do you have in the desert? There's hardly anything. What drink do you have in the desert? Nothing. They got to the place where thirst and hunger, Hagar thought that, look, we're going to die. And for the fact that she could not look at her child dying, she left her child somewhere and she went to another place. And God appeared unto Hagar. And this was one of the only people, I believe, in the Bible who gave God a name. You know, God always named himself when God appears to man. But Hagar said, I have seen the Lord that sees me, and called the name of God Elroy. That name, the Lord that sees me, Hagar was the one who gave God that name. And why I say we forget is that, you know, that God sees us. Sometimes we remember and we are good, but then sometimes we turn to what people think about us more than what God thinks about us. And that lesson that I was learning about God seeing me was also solidified in the story of Sarah herself. At the time when God came to Sarah, when God was going to renew the promise that Sarah, next year you're going to have that child. For 25 years, Abraham had been waiting for that child. Had tried one thing or the other that didn't work. One of those things is the problem we're having today on earth. But when God came to Sarah that next year, you're going to have a child. At that time, Abraham was about 90 years old. Have you? 99 years old. Sarah was about 90. Okay. Does anybody have any grandmother that's 90? About to be. Your great aunt. Can you imagine your great aunt having a child? Timmy, why are you laughing? You know, we read it in the Bible, but sometimes we need to bring it to our own circumstance. Can you imagine? Your great aunt, Professor Ogunseye, right? She's going to be 95, having a child. So you could imagine what the reaction of Sarah will be. And the Bible says that Sarah laughed. But do you know that Sarah didn't laugh outside. She didn't laugh out loud. It was like she chuckled on the inside. And God confronted her. Why did you laugh? First of all, the angels that came, they were not with Sarah. Sarah was busy cooking for them. She laughed on the inside. And God was able to ask her, why did you laugh? The God that was away from her knew what she was thinking, what she was doing. But she wouldn't expect that God will see her that way. So what I'm telling you, my brothers and sisters, at the time when God saw Hagar, Hagar was in a difficult place. And God reassured her that you are not alone. You might think that everybody has forgotten you. God has forgotten you. Nothing is happening. But God is showing you at that time, I am the God that sees you. Sarah was thinking, look, it is impossible. How can me, my husband, when it comes to childbearing, is dead. Me, at 90, how can I have a child? My wombs are shriveled. It can't happen. But God is showing her, I see you. That's just on the side. Let's come back to the story. So here, Asa called unto the Lord, and the Lord answered, and the Lord routed the army of Ethiopia, an army that was larger than the army of Israel. Brothers and sisters, many a times, and me included, we get to places in life where, because we have prayed so much, waited so long, we think that God is not possible. God isn't answering. God isn't looking. Isn't seeing me any longer. That I want to tell you something. If you are a child of God, if you are a child of God, God's promises to his children, though it tarries, it will always come to pass. You see, the most difficult for us, thing for us, is to get on the schedule of God, because God doesn't work according to the schedule of man. Many a times, before God does his thing, we ourselves will have forgotten or become tired or weary that this, it can't happen any longer. It can't happen any longer. No, how can? This problem has persisted for so long. I will just, you know how it is, for long. But God is telling us that I am the Lord that sees you. I am the Lord that sees you. Here, Asa called unto God, and God answered. All the enemies of Asa were destroyed in the Ethiopian army. That they had to be chasing the Ethiopian army, a large army. Now, let's read something that happened afterwards. Let's go now to chapter 16. If anybody has time, you can read some of what happened in chapter 15. But in chapter 16, Simi, will you read for us chapter 16? Second, I want Chronicles, all of us to listen, because I will ask questions.
Second Chronicles 16, verse 1. In the 36th year of the reign of Asa.
Okay, this is the 36th year. Did he tell us here in what year? Okay. For 10 years. Okay. But he didn't tell us here. Okay. In the 36th year, right, go on.
In the 36th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah and built Ramah.
Okay. This is not the king of Ethiopia now. Where was Israel?
Right. Sorry,
right in the north. This was their brothers up north. The king of Israel came against the king of Judah. Go on.
And built Ramah, that he might let none go out or come into the king or come into King Asa of Judah. Then Asa brought silver and gold from the treasuries of the house of the Lord and of the king's house, and sent to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, who dwelt in Damascus, saying, let there be a treaty between you and me, as there was between my father and your father. See, I have sent you silver and gold. Come, break your treaty with Baasha, king of Israel, so that he will withdraw from me. So Ben-Hadad heeded King Asa and sent the captains of his armies against the cities of Israel. They attacked Ijon, Dan, Abel-Mem, and all the storage cities of Naphtali. Now it happened, when Baasha heard it, that he stopped building Ramah and ceased his work. Then King Asa took all Judah, and they carried away the stones and the timber of Ramah, which Baasha had used for building. And with them, he built Geba and Mizpah.
Okay, stop there for a second. You'll help me continue. But now, this was the king of Israel, right? That came against the king of Judah, came against Asa. What different thing do we notice in the way Asa reacted here to where, to how he reacted against a very, very mighty army? We don't even know the size. This might have been an army that was even less than his own. What difference do we see in their reactions? Yes.
He asked God to help him, and here he tried to figure it out all on his own.
Very good. Children, adults, this is the lesson for today. The God that sees you is still on the throne. Many times when we have walked with God, sometimes we come to a place where our first inkling is no longer to call upon God, but to try to figure things out on our own, to make our own plans without including him. And these things are very unconscious. It starts small. These things are very we don't even think about it. But small by small, we get to the place where we make small plans. We don't include him. Now we want to make major plans in life. We've forgotten that it's the God who dealt with the army of Ethiopia that will help me deal with this small king of Israel. Go on, Simi.
And at the time, Hanani the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said to him, "Because you have relied on the king of Syria and have not relied on the Lord your God, therefore the army of the king of Syria has escaped from your hand." Hmm. Were the Ethiopians and the Lubin not a huge army with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet, because you relied on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the entire earth, to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. In this you have done foolishly. Therefore, from now on, you shall have wars. Then Asa was angry with the seer and put him in prison, for he was enraged at him because of this. And Asa oppressed some of the people at that time.
Wait a second. Is Asa the same? It seems the same Asa. The same Asa that was asking the people to follow God, follow his commandments. He's now oppressing the people, putting the priest of God, who spoke truth to him, putting them in jail. But I think this is the king. But sometimes we do the same thing. The person who comes to speak truth to us, we take that person as an enemy. Sometimes it might be a spouse reflecting what God is trying to say to us. We take the person. It might be a friend. It might be a son or a daughter. It might be a brother. Because the person that speaks truth, you know, naturally, because we don't want to hear what is wrong with us, we rather gravitate to people who will praise our wrong. But God is telling us that the God that sees, he is the one that corrects also. When I read this, I remembered the reaction of David when Nathan came to confront him with what he had done wrong. And the difference between some of these kings is very subtle. David accepted immediately and went on his knees before God. He said he repented. He said, "I had done wrong." If you read the Psalm 51, which was a psalm of the repentance of David, one of the things David said is that you desire truth on the what? On the inward parts. You desire truth in the inward parts. More and more, you see, these things about God seeing me, it's part of the lessons that God has been teaching me. That without truth in the inward parts, it will be very hard for us to walk with God. The people who want to walk with God, some people want to cover, you know, certain things that, yeah, God doesn't see it or God doesn't care about it. But before we can walk with God with power in our lives, we have to come to the place where we determine that we will be truthful on the inward parts, that it's not only what people see that matters. What is unseen on the inside also matters. Because it is from this place that the power of God can be upon our life, that the Lord who sees us can truly be the one who will fight for us. But if we want to cover what the Lord has revealed as wrong, and we don't want to come to the place where we deal with it and ask God for forgiveness, then we're no different from Asa imprisoning the seer that comes, the prophet that comes to confront him with truth. We're no different from the person who will now want to oppress others because we can't bear the truth of God. David, on the other hand, he repented and he said, you desire truth on the inward parts. I can never forget that thing. Because the Lord that sees, it is not the outside that he sees alone. He goes deep within our hearts. And where it made sense to me was that God told me that even my very thoughts must be right before him. Okay, Simi, go on. Sorry, before you go on, verse 9, which is in line with what we're saying. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro the whole earth to show himself what? Strong. On behalf of those whose what? Hearts are perfect before him. It's the same thing. God is not waiting for you to come to him. He is the one looking for those whose hearts are perfect before him. He's the one looking for us. He's the one calling to, looking for people who want to desire truth on the inward part, who want to walk right, not just according to what people will see on the outside, but according to the dictates of the heart, that I want to be truthful. God desires such people. God looks for such people. He said he wants to make himself strong on their behalf. This was who Asa was in that first year when the king of Ethiopia came against him. Because there was truth on the inward parts. That was why he wanted to set everything right in the land for God to be glorified. He desired truth on the inward part, and God was strong on his behalf. If you want God to fight your battles, you cannot desire falsehood on the inward parts. You cannot desire to cover wrong on the inward parts when God confronts you with it. Because the strength that I'm talking about of God dealing with you, fighting your battles, starts from the place where you yourself, you deal with God with truth on your inward part. Then he will fight your battles. But we saw the heart of this Asa now. After how many years? This was the 36th year of his reign. It's the story of man. Many of us, we start right. And we come to the place where we have rest all around. You know what that rest all around is for us? In America, we have children. Some of us have built houses. If we don't have children, then we have beautiful car, we have beautiful job, we have beautiful house. Nothing to stress us any longer. But then, when we are in that place where we have rest all around, are we still the same people who yearn for truth on the inward parts? Brother Wale was saying something about us gathering together on Sunday. Many of us, look, this thing about going on Zoom. It was a thing of convenience. But you cannot serve God continuously when the convenience, when the thing that caused it is no longer there. You just, because I can't make church today, you know, let me just be on Zoom. God has never once said that, well, I can't give you breakfast today. Sister Biola can say that for Moradike. But God can never say that for us. You know, thank you for all those who prayed for our trip to Africa. We went to Uganda. And something that, you know, God, this God is beautiful. Beautiful. In the games reserve where we went, lion was like this. Antelopes, thousands of them were like this. And that's a verse that I want more kinuwa mashallah in Ebiasi Makpawo. The children of lions, can they hunger? How many of you have ever seen the children of lion hunt for animals? Has anybody ever seen it on TV? It is the lions that hunt for the thing and bring it to their children. That is what God is trying to teach us in that psalm. It is the father who provides for his children because there's an abundance of what God has prepared for them. And if God can do that for lion, how much more those who are created in his image? Simi, please go on.
On verse 11.
Yeah.
Note that the acts of Asa, first and last, are indeed written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. In the 39th year of his reign, Asa became diseased in his feet, and his malady was severe. Yet in his disease, he did not seek the Lord, but the physician.
Please, read that again.
And Asa became diseased in his feet, and his malady was severe. Yet in his disease, he did not seek the Lord, but the physician.
New Covenant Church, this is the lesson for us. So, if we have been seeking God as our first resort in the past, please. It is easy to come to the place where it starts with you have a plan, but you don't see God. Now you rely more on physicians, you rely more on medicine than the God who you started with. We have seen it over and over again. And as a minister of the gospel, as a servant of God, I am very, very cautious about this because I have seen ministers start right. And along the way, I ask the question, how did they get here? Asa could be asking himself the same question. But sometimes you go too far that you don't even ask yourself that question again. How did I get here? I started from somebody who sought God, who God was strong on his behalf. And I've now become somebody who I rely on my own wisdom, my own plans, what I can do for my own self. That is 6 years. He made a treaty with the king of Syria. 3 years later, he had a disease in his feet. He didn't even bother about God any longer to say, Father, what was that king? Was it Hezekiah? Who was sick? Thank you, mommy. And what did that king do? He faced the wall and cried to God. Cried to God. That is the heart. That should be the heart of a child of God. What is the problem in your life? You might have given it to God and you might have waited so long and haven't seen change. But God is still on the throne. The difficulty we face is that God will not answer us according to our own timeline. God will answer us according to his own timeline. But though he tarries, he will fulfill what he has promised. He will not fail. Simi, finish it for us, please.
So Asa rested with his fathers. He died in the 41st year of his reign. They buried him in his own tomb, which he had made for himself in the city of David. And they laid him in the bed, which was filled with spices and various ingredients prepared in a mixture of ointments. They made a great burning for him.
Amen. May the Lord help us in our Christian walk to start right and to finish right. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these are simple lessons that we learn as we come into this place. You are still the God who is strong on our behalf. Help us not to come to the place where we rely on our own understanding, on our own way of doing things, and we no longer call upon you for help. You desire truth on the inward parts. You are the God whose eyes go to and fro the earth, seeking for those whose hearts are right on before you, that you may be strong on their behalf. You are the God that sees. You are the God that looks on the inward parts. You do not look on the outside alone. You look deep within the hearts. You are the one who separates our thoughts and the intent of our hearts. And you are the one who is able to confront us with what is wrong with us. Lord, if this happens in our life, give us the grace to accept it, Lord, and to come before you in a repentant attitude. Help us not to be strong-headed, that we will jail those who tell us the truth. We will make enemies of those who bring truth before us because we cannot bear what you are saying. Help us, Lord, to change where you want us to change. If we have missed our way in any way, if we have relied upon ourselves, Lord, show us the way back to you. And help us, Lord, to walk in the way that is pleasing unto you. Because truly, you are still a father. You're a father to us, O Lord. We give thanks for your lessons today. And we pray for more of you in our lives. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.